but we're going to talk about the ripple effect, which we're going to for the next 3 weeks, and then we're going to wrap it up on Mother's Day of all days. But I believe it's important as the church, the mother, if you might put it that way, where babies, spiritual babies, are produced because of the work of the Holy Spirit in us and as a church. So it's beautiful to talk about this on Mother's Day, but we're going to talk about Vision Sunday and see what God's calling us into in the next season. And I'm excited. I'm dreaming for big things, friends, and have faith for God to provide in those things. So I hope you'll come alongside us and believe God and trust God for some big things. But we're going to talk about faith over this next few weeks. So who here knows that it matters that we know why we exist as a church? Is anybody, you don't have to shout it out, but you can if you want. Or where we are going. Why is it important to know why we exist? Is it just for my comfort or for, you know, good old social club? I love social clubs too, but we, friends, we exist for so much more than this. Did you know that a ship without a rudder drifts without purpose, is aimless, doesn't have a direction that it travels? A people without a vision, Scripture says, perish. Scripture tells us, so Angela and I are super excited, and the leadership team here to lead us into this next season of leaving for all that God has for us. And I'm willing and available, Jesus, to lean into all that you have. Is anyone else ready to come along with us? For us, as this church and as churches on mission, we have another church in Victoria as well, one of our partner churches. I honestly have faith to believe that this message series is going to speak to a few of you in a very, very powerful way over the next few weeks. See, what I believe you will begin to learn is that when you make a choice, it affects ripple further than you can see. When you plant a seed and you nourish it, it can grow beyond your wildest expectations. And when you add to the work that God is already doing, friends, he can multiply it into something eternally impacting. Isn't that beautiful? I'm along for the ride, friends. Wow. God is a very different economy than we often understand. His kingdom is upside down in contrast to our host culture. And his ways are so much higher than our ways, beyond my ability to comprehend and to understand. And so here's what I believe we will be able to take away from this series. When we are irrationally generous in our lives with sowing our time and our energy and our finances and our talents, he can cause them to affect more people than we could ever imagine. So today, here's what I want to do. I want to talk to those of you, though, who might feel like you've settled in or like you're settling in life. You're settling, meaning you believed at one point or another, perhaps, that God would do something amazing, that you had faith for miracles in your life, and you were believing for a movement of God in your life and in your church and in your workplace and in your family. You were believing for something great. And maybe like one of the ancients in the Old Testament portion of Scripture, Jabez, maybe you've asked God the same, like, enlarge in my territory this year. God, bless me that I might be a blessing to bless others. Partner with me to make a big difference in life and in my family and in my workplace. And then life just kind of kept happening. And not much went down in your life spiritually or in your spiritual formation. And you've began to settle. Maybe you have grown complacent in your life or in your spiritual development. Comfortable when it comes to spiritual things. And now, since you haven't seen God do that something significant or anything significant in the last weeks to months to years, in a long, long time, maybe you find yourself disappointed, living with hope deferred. Maybe for you, you're willing to simply settle for the consolation prize. I know us Canadians, we're so pumped when we get a participation ribbon. I've got one or two or three of those. I participated. Look at me. Oh, I'm so good. God, just do something, won't you? Come on. I've been nagging at you for so long. I've been trusting and I've been believing for so much more. This is a message today, friends, for those who feel like you're settling in life. Maybe you've been believing for, I'll talk to you single people for a moment. Maybe you've been believing for a godly man or woman, and alongside your list of attributes, you know that they must be like 6'3", they must be slim and fit and have great curvature, on fire for God, potential great daddy, fantastic provider. I know I saw your list, right? Like, of course, all for the glory of God, but he better be a good kisser too. And a year goes by, and another year, and then another year, and you're like, come on, God. Just bring me a man or a woman. Or whatever it is that you've been dreaming of. Because every one of us have something that we've been longing for, something that we've been dreaming for, something that we've been aiming toward, wishing for. Maybe it's retirement, and your retirement fund wasn't quite where you thought it would be. Financial security. A house that you can actually afford to buy in this hot market. A career that is reliable. See, we're all somewhere in our life have something that we're aspiring to, desiring, wishing for, dreaming for. Anybody know what I'm talking about tonight? God, I want this, but it's not happening in my life. You know how it is. I'm going to start a business. It's going to be amazing. I get to call my own shots, get up when I want. Right. I'm going to do something that I love, and it's going to be fantastic. I'm going to use my entrepreneurial skills. Make lots of money. Dreams. And then one day is like, God, just give me a job. I don't care if it's Tim Hortons or not. I need to pay the rent. Just give me a job. At least with benefits, right? Oh, God, help me. I need to pay my whatever it might be. We've all been there. Some of us are still there. I'm going to be a fantastic parent. A stay-at-home mom, and I'm going to cook like real meals. Amazing. Read books to my kids every night, and we're going to tell stories and have prayer time before bed. Like, we're even going to have the most perfect Pinterest parties. It's going to be so rad. Then one day, your prayers shift, and you're like, God, help me not to kill them today. In Jesus' name. Hey, I know some of you are living where I have lived too. But I want to talk to those of you who may have lowered your standards, who may have settled for less, lowered your expectations of what God just might do in your life. I want to give you a thought, and this is a thought that we're going to come to throughout our message series. And I hope that this thought not only means something to you, but means even more as we look through God's word today. The thought is this in our next slide. Friends, you have no idea what God may produce through a single seed planted in faith. You have no idea what God wants to do through a single seed that's planted in faith. There's an account of a couple in the Old Testament, which is that portion of scripture of the library of books we call the Bible today. It's in the early part of the books. That was before Jesus and before the New Testament. This couple named Abraham and Sarah, actually they were named Abram and Sarai in this story. Their names were changed, and it's another story. They had a dream, just like other couples, to have children, to have a baby. And unfortunately, they couldn't conceive. And whenever you want kids, guess what? And you can't conceive, everybody you know is getting pregnant and having babies. Maybe some of you have been there, but it seems like everyone you know is three steps ahead of you. You can almost imagine Abram and Sarai, life in their city group, right? Everyone else is getting pregnant, celebrating baby showers, painting the nursery, parenting classes. We can't even get pregnant. I mean, Aunt Edie even keeps asking inappropriate questions about my sex life still even. My other friends, they've got the names picked out already, and we cannot even get pregnant. So they're devastated, friends. Then God shows up out of nowhere and speaks to Abram and then challenges them to take a massive step of faith, which I believe God is calling us to as a church in this season, to take big steps of faith, to believe for more. It's recorded in Genesis 12. I'll tell you what happened in Genesis 12, and then we'll jump to Genesis 15. Genesis means the book of beginnings. It's in the first book in your library. Genesis 12, God says, I'm going to make you into a great nation, Abram. Another time, God says, you're going to be the father of many nations. They hear this and they immediately know, there it is, God said it, therefore I believe it. It will happen. We're going to be parents, Sarah. This is the news we've finally been waiting for. God has promised. It's on, baby. Let's get back in the tent and make this happen. Woo! So like any one of us would do, they immediately start picking out their baby names, and we'll name him this if he's a boy, and this if she's a girl, and you know what, we'll devote a whole room in our tent to having a nursery. We're gonna, if it's a boy, we're gonna set up like Minecraft or Star Wars, one of those two. And if it's a girl, let's go Hannah Montana for you 90s fans, right? They've got it all figured out. I can just imagine Sarah, she's already read, you know, this book, What to Expect When You're Expecting. In 3 days, she's read from cover to cover. She's excited. Some of you have been excited in your life. Right now, you feel like maybe you're settling because that excitement for something that was meant to happen hasn't quite happened yet in your life, that you've been believing for, you've been trusting God for. How are we going to tell everybody what God has blessed their plan of their Instagram reveal? They're waiting. Perhaps it's this month. Month comes to an end. Perhaps it's this month. God's just given us more time so we can be more prepared. We can do another coat of paint in the nursery, maybe. Next month is going to be the month. Another month goes by. Certainly it's this month. We're not pregnant again. Wow, God. It's been a few months now. Something's not quite computing. Is it just more time that you need to have? It's okay, we got this. Third month, fourth month, fifth month, sixth month, seventh month. This is a message for those of you who've lowered your expectation of what God might do. You've been waiting for a long time for something, and you have lowered your expectation. The challenge is tonight to look to God, and we're going to get there. Jumping forward, God makes a promise. Genesis 12, Genesis 15, 1 to 2. We have it for you on the screen if you don't have your Bibles tonight. Genesis 15, 1 to 2 says, we read, sometime later. Would you say that out loud with me? Sometime later. The Lord speaks to Abraham. When is sometime later? In Genesis 12, there is a promise, and in Genesis 15 is sometime later. Some scholars think it's about a decade worth of time. Some think even more that has passed between Genesis 12 and Genesis 15. A decade between sometime later. But we know at least one decade has passed. Sometime later, the Lord spoke to Abram in a vision and said to him, do not be afraid, Abram. I will protect you and reward you, and it will all be great. But Abraham replied, like many of you, including me, would probably reply, yeah, great, but God, what good are all your blessings when I don't even have a son to pass on all those blessings to when I die? I don't even have a son. You promised. Sometime later, at least a decade passed, a decade of more of what appears to be unfulfilled promises and unrealized expectations in Abram's and Sarai's life. Month after month, 10 years, like at least 120 disappointments have passed by. Where are you, God? Why aren't you doing what I thought you were going to do? Did I hear you right? Some of you here in the room may have your own version of that story. And I don't know what it is. Maybe you've had a goal. Maybe it was, God, I know you're going to help us. You've been praying, God, help me to pay off that credit card by the end of this summer. I want to pay that debt off. Summer comes and goes, and your credit card's bigger and higher than it was before you had that goal. Where are you, God? I thought you were going to help me. God, I know you're going to hear my prayer. My father, he's going to get saved. I know, I've been praying for him, praying for my dad, and a year goes by, and your dad is meaner than ever before. Nowhere close to coming to faith in Jesus Christ, it seems. Some of you maybe is, God, by my next birthday, like, I'm almost 30. I'm still looking for that spouse. So by my next birthday, will you expect to be at least dating the person that could be my spouse by my next birthday? Next birthday comes and goes, and you feel like you haven't been 10 feet of someone of the opposite sex that's remotely attracted to you. This is life. These are the things that we face. These are the things that we walk through, our disappointments that we walk through and we face. God, where are you? Did I not hear you right? Does your scripture not say? Was it really you? God, did you forget about me? Are you even there? I don't know about you, but maybe you've never asked these things, but I get a sense that every one of us has asked very similar questions to these in our lives. You see, from Abraham's point of view, nothing was happening. There was a promise and a whole lot of time, but no evidence of God working during that time. It was silent. Instead of being a father of many nations, I'm just going to lower my expectations. Just give me a son, God. Just one son. That's all I want. And sometimes we settle when the time and the duration that we're walking through seems greater than we're able to bear. Don't worry about the generations. Don't worry about the nations. Just give me my son. That's all I want. May I remind you, you have no idea what God may produce through a single seed planted in faith. This is a message for those of us who have lowered your expectations of what God might do in your life. This is why we started this message series called Ripple Effect. When it comes to faith, when it comes to life, when it comes to God's blessings, we tend, if you're taking notes tonight, this is what we tend to do. We tend to think addition. We think, add to my life. Just give me one son. We tend to think addition. But when we look in scripture, God thinks multiplication. And we tend to think addition, but God thinks multiplication. If you go all the way back to the Garden of Eden, friends, and Adam and Eve, what did God say to Adam and Eve? Be fruitful and multiply. He did not say be fruitful and add. He said be fruitful and multiply. In Matthew's gospel account, Jesus said that a sower is a guy who plants, who scatters seed per se, went out to sow some seeds, and some seed didn't just produce a single return on a single seed invested. So a seed just didn't give the seed back, or a seed just didn't stay in your hand. Jesus said some seeds produce to harvest a 30 times return. Some 60 times the return, some 100 times the return, friends. A single seed planted has the potential of multiplying return of 100-fold in our lives of what one seed was planted in the ground. We're talking about seed of faith tonight. One seed, what one seed can do. Friends, you have no idea what our God may produce through a single seed planted in faith. Abraham and Sarah wanted a son. And a decade passed and they didn't see a thing. A whole decade, a whole 10 years. Nothing. I don't know who here has been praying for something, but you've been praying for a long time and nothing seems to be happening. You've been believing that God would do something great again. That God would hear your prayer, would hear the very cry of your heart. that God would bring a miracle in that situation that you're walking through that seems so bleak. Like, it's impossible, God, unless you do something. That God would change something. Maybe it's in your relationship or in your finances. That God would move upon that someone in your life that seems to be such a pain in your hiney. That God would make a way and a provision. And you've been praying and you've been believing and nothing has been happening. God, where are you? I don't see you at work. I don't see you doing anything in my life in this situation. Friends, I'm here to tell someone today in slide 5 for us that just because you don't see anything doesn't mean that God isn't doing something in your life. Just because you don't see it doesn't mean that God's not doing something. A seed planted in the ground. When you plant a seed in the ground, you don't see what's happening under the ground, right? You're just faithfully watering that silly thing, hoping it's going to bring you some corn. Chinese bamboo, I think it is. Someone was telling me that you plant the seed and you have to water it for 5 years. You see nothing happen. Nothing springs up. 5 years is digging roots. And finally, when it comes up 5 years later, and you have to keep watering. You can't just let it go. You have to water it and water it and water it. And then when it starts growing, it grows at an exponential rate, like 18 inches kind of thing over a month, and it's up to 100 feet in height, like massive. But it took 5 years for those roots to grow and to develop to sustain the growth that God wants to bring in your life. You don't see what's happening under the ground. You've got no idea what God may produce through a single seed planted in faith. You don't see it necessarily working. And if I don't see it, then it must not be doing anything, of course. Right? What you don't understand is God is still sending the sun. God is still sending the rain. Just because you don't see anything breaking from the ground in your life doesn't mean it's not working where you don't see it, friends. Because eventually that seed will break out, breaks open, and it starts to take root and starts to produce a fruit that you will see in due time. Long before you ever see the fruit, though, God is working beneath the soil of your heart, below the soil of your situation, below the soil of your patience that's been growing, below the soil of your ability to manage your finances as you grow in that skill set. God's got to cause it to take root. Just because you don't see the fruit doesn't mean that seed is not taking root. Abram had the same problem. If you remember back, same one that so many of us have, he had a very limited perspective of God. Where was Abraham? He was in his tent, complaining, telling God what he didn't see. God, I don't see you working. You're not doing what you told me you would do. 10 years, God? I'm like, come on, man. My kids would have been, you know, this high and could have been put into work already. I don't see you working. I don't see anything happening, God. You told me that many nation stuff, and I don't even see a son. Sometimes we can relate, God, I'm not married yet. Haven't you noticed my biological clock is ticking? All these people I work with, there ain't no prospects here. They hate me. They don't want to even hear about you, Jesus. God, I'm buried in debt. Doing a stupid job that's beneath me after going to school for 6 years. There ain't no way I'm coming out of this alive. God, the report came back again and it's not good. I don't really know if you're paying attention to me or not anymore, God. It's not good. I don't see you anywhere. I don't sense your nearness. I don't hear your voice. What I hope you'll remember is this. in slide 6 for us. If God met all your expectations, he would never have the chance to exceed them. And I believe that's what God wants to teach us in this season ahead of us. If God just met all your expectations, he would never have the chance to exceed them. Abraham's in his tent telling God what he doesn't see. And in verse 5 of Genesis 15, we read this. Then the Lord took Abram outside. I just get this picture. I don't know about you, but when my mom was annoyed with me, she'd take me by the ear and pull me out of. I could just imagine. Maybe that's what God did to Abraham. Come on, Abraham. I want to talk to you outside for a moment. I mean, it was just me. Lord takes him, get out here, Abram. The Lord meets Abram and takes him outside. And that's part of what I feel called to as a pastor here at Beloved City Church is to help you get outside, friends, of your limited perspective of God, to nudge you and to encourage you, to help take you outside of your unmet expectations. Lift your eyes up, and we're going to look and see what he tells Abraham. Abraham's in the tent. I don't see what you're doing, God. Perhaps in some way God might have communicated to him something that is true in his word, like, hey, Abraham, my thoughts are not like your thoughts, Abraham. My ways are higher than your ways. Abraham, you're not going to understand me. I get it. But verse 5, this is what he says. Let's look at the whole verse. Then the Lord took Abram outside and said to him, look up into the sky and count the stars if you can. That's how many descendants that you will have. God, you haven't even given me a son yet. And the Lord takes him and says, count the stars, Abraham. Abraham's probably stunned and shaken, perhaps even silenced. And I don't know what he would have done. Maybe I probably would have been a little bit maybe irritated. But maybe in that moment I would have been like, oh my Lord, you're amazing. You're a good God. Maybe I'd start to worship. Maybe Abraham began to worship him. Maybe he lifted his hands up to God in heaven, crying out to him, God, I'm so sorry. I was thinking addition, and you were thinking multiplication. God, I'm sorry. God, I was thinking a son, and you were thinking a whole nation. See, I believe this is a season that as a church we can repent of the same thing. Sometimes we're thinking addition. We think too small. And God's saying, I'm thinking a nation, not just a son. I'm thinking multiplication, not just addition in your life. For those of you who belong to Christ, what I hope you'll understand, if you see the stars in the skies in the sky, when you look up tonight and you can remember the promises that those will be your descendants numbered like the stars in the sky. What I hope you'll understand is yet you are the fulfillment of that promise, that you are one of those descendants. Do you understand that you are a seed of Abraham? And there's a Bible verse that says it, and there's a song that says it too. Maybe we'll get there in a second. But let's start with a Bible verse in Galatians 3:29. If you belong to Christ, if you've been transformed by his grace, if you met his resurrection power and have been forgiven of your sins, who are you? You are Abraham's seed. You have no idea what God may produce through a single seed planted in faith. And friends, you are a seed of Abraham. Maybe some of you know the song, Father Abraham. Had many sons, and many sons had Father Abraham, and I am one of them. So are you. So let's just praise. It's right hand, left hand. Sunday school. Love it. You are a seed of Abraham. You are. See, if God always met your expectations, he would never have the chance to exceed them. You have no idea what God can produce and wants to produce through you as a single seed of faith. Here's what I hope you'll understand. Abraham was thinking of a son, but God was also thinking of you and I. All the way thousands and thousands of years later, rippling through history. Slide 9 for us, I want you to write this down. Never measure God's unlimited power by your limited expectations. Never measure God's unlimited power by your limited expectations. Friends, we're talking about one seed. God wants to blow our minds with what you, how you plant that seed and how you plant it with faith. One prayer prayed. You might know this. Maybe your life has been impacted by this, but one prayer prayed can change an entire family, which can change an entire generation, which can change who knows what when a generation is changed by prayer. One gift may impact a life. You may not see it today. It may take weeks. It may take months. It may take years. It might take a decade for that seed to take root and to produce fruits. But one gift can initiate an explosive growth of spiritual fruit. Friends, God can multiply what is given back into your life. It may not happen immediately, but you and I have no idea what God may produce through a single seed sown in faith and a trust that he wants to blow our minds. Genesis 15 and 6. It says, Abram believed the Lord, and the Lord counted him as righteous because of his faith. Friends, here's my encouragement to you tonight, is that you would not grow weary, that you would not tire in your faith, in believing in all that God has called you to, all that God has promised, that you would not grow weary in your faithfulness to sow your life as a faith seed. Don't grow weary. This is a message for those of you who have possibly lowered your expectations of God. God may not do exactly what you want him to do in this moment, but our God is still working in all things to bring about good to those who love him, to those who are called according to his purposes. Sometimes you got to wake yourself up and get into the scripture and say, these promises that I have are sure, are yes and amen. This foundation is sure and strong, and I believe it. Sure, it might not happen when I want it to, but that doesn't mean I'm going to settle for less. Do not grow weary in believing in all that God has for you, in doing good. Scripture says you will reap a harvest. How do you reap a harvest? You must plant a seed. How do we plant a seed? If my life is a faith seed, what does it look to be planted? Jesus talks about this in John 12 and 24. He says, unless a kernel is planted or even dies, it would only be a seed. But if you die to yourself and plant that seed in the ground as he was foreshadowing with his life, to give his life, there could be many be transformed by the giving of one life, of one faith seed. Friends, this seed that we hold, maybe it's our lives, maybe it's something God has given you, your resources or your time, your energy or whatever might be your gifts, your callings. Seed is ineffective and unfruitful as long as it's preserved, which quite often when I think of preserved means I just hold on to it, or maybe tuck it away in a jar and put it up on a shelf. When you play it safe and you believe for little in your life, you may be living your life without faith. You are a single seed. But if you would be willing to die to self, to have that seed planted in the ground, and when that seed dies to your human passions and your personal motivations and your desire, I mean, these are good things that we have that God's wired us with, but God has called you to a greater and higher purpose than you can ever imagine. This is the only way to produce many seeds, to bear much fruit and to multiply. I must die to myself and be planted that I might be rooted in Christ Jesus, and that he, through the power of the Holy Spirit, would produce such beautiful fruit in me and through me. You may say, but hey, I don't have a lot of faith, or, you know, lately I've been really struggling with a lot of pain and hurt and frustrations, and I haven't seen God do a lot of work in my life. There's not a lot of things I can testify about per se. How much faith do you need to see a miracle from God, friends? Sometimes we think we need exponential, mind-blowing faith. Like, let me tell you exactly how much faith you need according to Jesus. Matthew 17 and 20, Jesus said this: if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, the smallest seed, you can say to a mountain, be removed from here, and that mountain will be removed if you have the faith of the smallest seed. Somebody needs to hear this tonight, friends. That our God is always working. Our God is with you. Our God is for you. Our God is powerful. He is the God of salvations, friend. He is the God of forgiveness. He is the God of breakthrough still in this room. He is the God of miracles still. You have no idea what God can produce through a single seed planted in faith. So if you've started to lower your expectations of God, understand this: God's promises are true. God's word is alive, and his presence is still with us today in this place, right now, in this moment. We serve a good God who can do exceedingly and abundantly more, Scripture says. We serve a God who can do exceedingly and abundantly more, not addition, multiplication. More than all you can ask, think, or imagine, according to his power that is at work within his church, so that we would be glorified for generations to come. See, we're talking about the ripple effect that one faith seed planted can make a difference. We have no idea what God can do through a single seed planted in faith, friends. And if you haven't figured it out, your life is the seed. You have no idea how many lives can be touched, how many lives can be changed, and how much glory can be brought through our Father, through one seed, through one life given in faith. I'm all in. Because we have no idea what our God wants to produce through one life who's fully devoted to him. It is bigger than you can imagine, friends. Will you commit alongside me today, over this next few weeks, to make war on your ego, to make war on your impatience, to let your life be a faith seed? All in, planted, died to self, ready for transformation, that you might work through me, Jesus, in order to be the multiplication that God intends in your life, in your family, in your city, in your neighborhood, in your finances, in your energy even. I know we're shorter tonight than normal, so what I want to do is I want to just encourage, I want to invite you just to a physical response. Thank you.